The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. 4 years ago, I received devastating news from my doctor. Follow me on my journey as I defied convention, rediscovered food, and improved my health by becoming a vegan. Hello again. And welcome. You're listening to The Vegan Inquisition with your host, The Chocolate Vegan. If you're new to the podcast, we are exploring my decision to pursue a vegan lifestyle and what I've learned. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different, uncomfortable for some, and even ruffle a few feathers. But I would just like to preface this by saying I've drawn my conclusions based on my experience and my personal encounters. Health and well-being is the initial catalyst that led me to pursuing a vegan lifestyle. The awareness that if changes were not made, it would be to my detriment. That reason was enough to compel me to make different food choices, plant-based in origin and vegan. Admittedly, early on, my scope of what it meant to be vegan was rather narrow. All I could tell you is that I made the change to eat plant-based and that I enjoyed experimenting. The new experimentation with food and was starting to feel better in my own body. And that was enough for me. But I soon realized that it was not for others within the vegan community. Lines were drawn in the sand and that there were subtle divisions amongst vegans. In a previous episode, I shared how important community is when you're embarking on a major life change. The importance of seeking out others who are doing what you're trying to do or have done what you're trying to do or currently are in the struggle, facing and experiencing some of the same challenges. It just so happened that I worked in the veterinary industry when I decided to make my change, and it's saturated with vegans. As a beginner, I used this to my advantage. I had been working there a number of years, helping, and this helped me build rapport and allowed me to gain insights and knowledge amongst my journey. Many of my colleagues became vegan to prevent exploitation of animals. It is not the only reason for becoming vegan, but for many, it remains the key factor in their decision. Studies suggest that around 68.1% of vegans are motivated by animal rights. This group is what I like to refer to as the elite. Allow me to explain. As I shared with my peers, and other enthusiasts that I too was vegan, I was instantly and quickly met with a warm welcome, a reception, and even admiration. That was then followed up with a very inquisitive why. Why did you decide to become vegan? Let's take a pause for a minute. For me, that's a very off-putting question in the sequence of conversation because I didn't realize that divulging this news required an explanation. No matter how unusual the circumstance or the question, I usually answered it as gracefully as possible. I just wanted to feel better. And just like that, you could feel the energy change. their smile slowly fade. And with the least tonality possible, they'd respond with an, "Oh." Now, did I say something wrong? Was my answer not good enough? I still don't know the answer to those questions, and I may never know. There have even been exchanges that after sharing my reasons for becoming vegan, I would be met with a passive-aggressive, "Oh, you're not truly vegan," or "You're not a real vegan." In fact, some of my coworkers even dubbed me the nickname "Baby Vegan" for a period of time. It could also be highly likely that because I worked in the veterinary field and that my change of choices, that it could be automatically assumed that I did it for animal welfare. In some rare cases, I even was treated differently by certain individuals. Because veganism does, first and foremost, have to do with access. And this is some of the rhetoric, or maybe I think some of the ideology that some of the elitists carry. This access, or lack thereof, comes in a variety of forms. So we see separations financially, culturally, socially, and even mentally. Now, from a financial perspective, it is partially caloric. Although in terms of volume, vegetables tend to be cheaper than chicken or poultry, they also provide substantially less calories. In many impoverished countries and communities, people do not have continual access to fresh vegetables or an abundance of legumes and grains. What they do have access to is animal protein. For example, in suburban North America, cheap and convenient fast food chains are abundant, perhaps more than grocery stores. This also quickly becomes a race issue. Seeing a marginalized and impoverished communities are often comprised of people of color. Now, there is still access, you might argue, even if it is difficult. That may be true, but it is the ease of this access that becomes critical. For example, let's take a poor vegan with maybe irritable bowel syndrome, which is defined as an intolerance for forms of fiber found in plants. It isn't going to be easy for that individual to navigate plant-based anti-inflammatory foods or afford probiotics. This becomes an issue when vegan communities shame meat eaters for their food choices. And that's the part I want to highlight. I think some of the elitists shame meat eaters, which causes division, which causes separation for those that are not, or for those that may not have bought fully into the ideology of animal rights. This may be the perspective that they're coming from and why I felt some of that resistance. They might argue that everyone has the capacity to go vegan, which they may claim while sipping their green juices and grocery shopping at their local organic markets. But what they do not realize is that through this claim of ease, they're talking down to communities with far less access and often condemning a larger percentage of impoverished Black and brown communities that aren't as privileged as whites. The same problem accompanies the moral supremacy of health. in our contemporary global lexicon. The widespread concept of an obesity epidemic shames populations who have little choice in their food options, rather than the large corporations and systems who produce the said food and profit off the ill health of the poor. Now, that's just my reasoning why I think maybe some of the elitists exist and maybe why they hold their ideologies. But allow me to continue. Then we have another group that I've encountered that we call the trendy vegans. And trendy vegans make up a whopping 3% of Americans who identify themselves as vegan based on a trend or as a mean of social rising. As with any genre in life, you have those who participate to stay woke, or they hop in the bandwagon because everyone else is doing it. It's a fad. It's a trend. Now, don't get me wrong. I, too, have found it to be a great conversation starter and an amazing topic of interest to shock new prospects and make engaging connection with new friends. But the trendy tend to partake, but not be particularly committed to any lifestyle or ideology or way of thinking. They may switch or change their vantage point depending on popularity or what the latest social craze may be. Their ideology, for many of them, the opinion of identifying as a vegan is alluring, in part because it feels like you have drastically shifted your moral compass, your goodness as a person. And I think that's alluring to many, many people. Listen, this is not to bash one group or another. So for whatever your reasons for becoming vegan are, they are important. Remember to stay true to yourself and to your journey. Never let anyone make you feel less than or more because you subscribe to a particular ideology or lifestyle. Feeling good for going vegan instills a hierarchy, morality, which becomes inherently problematic when reflecting upon systemic injustice. Although this podcast is not a revolution or, you know, a political podcast, I want to share that this is not necessarily the case against veganism. I'm for it, obviously. However, what I have shared is a case against shaming, morally supreme attitudes, and the assumption that everyone's path towards or away from veganism is paved equally. The world deserves to be informed about the environmental impacts of veganism, the inhumane terrors of slaughterhouses, as well as the health benefits that accompany a plant-based shift without feeling belittled or ashamed. Whether you are vegan because of animal cruelty, or its growth in popularity, or as I am for health and wellness, your reason is just as good as any other, and there is room for us all. That's what I want to leave with you. Remember, there is room for us all. Until next time.